Hello and welcome to the NITV News Podcast. Indigenous communities in north central New South Wales are again showing resilience amid severe flooding. Described by locals in Gunnedah as the most unpredictable event in decades. Major flood emergency warnings have been issued along the Namoi River at Gunnedah, which peaked yesterday and remains steady. And low-lying residents have been advised to shelter in place as it is too late to leave. The SES says some are now trapped without power, water and other essential services. Floodwaters are expected to fall below the major flood level into Wednesday, prompting a widespread community-led clean-up operation.
Our mob are pretty resilient. We've been through floods before and we know how to get through. What really is on people's minds is the cleanup and what's coming after the fact. That's the hardest part we find. This one's very hard to predict. It seems to go down, but then it comes back up. I've never known the schools to close. This is the first time I've heard of the school closing down that end of town in probably 20 years. Our doors are open. For anyone going through these difficult times, our doors are open.
Melbourne Storm have issued a formal apology to First Nations communities over the last-minute cancellation of the NRL Club's Welcome to Country ceremony on Anzac Day this year. Wurundjeri Elder Auntie Joy Murphy had been scheduled to perform a Welcome to Country before the match between the Storm and the Rabbitohs. The Storm told Auntie Joy at short notice that the Welcome to Country would not go ahead, which prompted the Jiri Jiri dancers to cancel their pre-match performance in protest. The team said the abrupt cancellation was caused by an internal miscommunication. An acknowledgement of country will now take place before the Storm's Thursday night clash against the Brisbane Broncos as part of the NRL's Indigenous Round. A man missing for a week in bushland near Impantwa Alice Springs has been found alive and his family say it's a miracle he survived. Local First Nations people spotted the 26-year-old Sudanese man on Monday night wandering near Jay Creek Outstation about 30 kilometres west of Alice Springs. Police had earlier found Garchtop's car abandoned about 15 kilometres west of John Flynn's Grave Historical Reserve. Authorities had suspended their search on Saturday, but Mr. Top's family continued looking for him, along with a group of about 25 volunteers. NT Police said Mr. Top was taken to hospital for assessment and his family thanked those that rescued him.
Because we've been searching for Garch, our hearts are broken, but we still have hope that we're going to find him alive. So today is fine alive and everybody's happy. We're going to sleep today.
The Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians, Karen Little, has criticised the government for not focusing enough on closing the gap. Karen Little and opposition leader Susan Lee have spent the weekend in Western Australia visiting remote communities. They were in the Kimberley while Garma was being held in Arnhem Land, where the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, used his address to announce an Indigenous economic development plan worth $110 million.
Very little focus on those close the gap targets going in the wrong direction, but what we heard from people in our travels was that's what they want to focus on.
While we've been here, we've talked to people about their everyday lives, about what they want to see from their governments, about the appalling lack of investment in housing.
Traditional owners in Meanjin, Brisbane have taken their fight to protect Victoria Park to the federal government, lodging an application for permanent legal protection over the culturally significant site. The Yagara Mungunjin Aboriginal Corporation is seeking protection under Commonwealth heritage laws after the Queensland government moved to fast-track Olympic development on the site, including the main Olympic stadium. Despite a previous recommendation for the entire area to be heritage listed, the Queensland government introduced legislation overriding 15 planning laws, allowing Olympic construction to proceed. The LNP says it will review the heritage protection application. Burrabin, as it's known to the Yuggera traditional owners, holds deep cultural importance and they say it should be preserved.
The remnants of our cultural and social and political being in southeast Queensland is still there. It's remnant now there. We still know stories about it. We still understand what was going on there. And in the day... And we want to preserve that. It's as simple as that for all Australians, not only for First Nations people, but for all Australians.
High school students in Cape York have gathered in Weipa for a science workshop. Statistics show that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children who live in remote and regional areas are less likely to study STEM, science, technology, engineering and maths. But the chance to use microscopes and do DNA tests at the workshops is inspiring the next generation of deadly scientists.
By air and by road. For these researchers, it's been a 2,000-kilometre journey to spread the word about science.
I was walking through the bush.
From the Western Cape College and Aurukun State School, these students are gaining hands-on experience of the life of a scientist.
My favourite activity was the DNA test, because it was very interesting and it was fun to see how you, like, insert all the DNAs into the caps.
We get to see neurons to the microscope and other things too, like the diseases that comes from mosquitoes.
They also hear from scientists about their career pathways.
With the scientists that come along, they present their journey. They present how they got into science. And sometimes it's been a rocky path, sometimes it's been a very straightforward, but everyone has a different path. And for that simple reason, students can then relate to the fact that they can become a scientist if they wanted to.
Embedded in the workshops are Indigenous learning techniques.
We utilise the AWAYS, which is a teaching approach for Indigenous students. It uses a lot of symbolism, a lot of the regular culture, the way that they transfer knowledge. It's a beautiful technique and it's something very natural to all of us.
It's hoped the lesson inspires students to pursue a career in science.
After doing the workshops, I would like to study science because it's inspiring.
Focusing on the future and getting more mob into science. Ricky Kirby, NITV News.
The NRL is expanding its Indigenous round with the annual celebration to be played across two weekends for the first time. The official launch was held in Sydney yesterday with a host of current and former players attending the event. This year's theme is Moving Forward Together, with the game keen to honour the past while laying the foundation for future First Nations stars. And in another first, the NRL and the NRLW will both host Indigenous rounds at the same time.
I think the biggest thing is just seeing our younger generations here, young athletes, coming to the big stage, putting a smile on their faces and getting the community involved, designing jerseys, designing boots, all that kind of stuff.
And this month, the First Nations netball tournament will take place in NAR Melbourne, and some of the sides have already announced their deadly teams. Running for a second year, the competition will bring together Indigenous sides from every state and territory in Australia, all coached and officiated by Mob. And 2 weeks out, defending champions Queensland are already the favourites. The side naming an impressive 5 Black Swans representatives for the 2025 edition. With all the action from the tournament getting underway on Wednesday, August 20. And that's all for now. I'm Luana Grant. For more Indigenous news, tune in to NITV News Weeknights. And stay tuned right here on NITV Radio for all the latest news updates.